Morning, church. The points that you laughed were very diagnostic. What are we preaching about today? Friendships. Yes, that's right. So we're looking through the book of Proverbs on that topic. Let's pray before we go into that. Father, we thank you that we can sit here comfortably amongst friends. People who love Jesus and listen to your word read and preached, we can sing your praises. And what a joy, what freedom that we enjoy. Help us not to waste these moments, knowing that many brothers and sisters would long to do what we're doing right now, and they can't do it, certainly not in peace. Lord, pray for John as he preaches this morning in Boyett Brook. Pray for Brian as he preaches down at Bethel Care. We pray that as your word goes out, both here and across the region, across the world, that it would bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, conversations are underway at the moment for me and a couple of my mates for our 50th birthdays. Now, I'm not saying it's close, but... You have to get these things in the diary early and you have to plan a fair way out, particularly if you're planning to go overseas with your friends. Now, this series is all about wisdom, and it turns out my wife only found out about these plans in the sermon last night, so the wisdom may have been lacking there. But anyway, it's a long way out, so we can work on this. Now, the same three who are planning to go overseas together, also we went through camps together and we got up to lots of trouble back then. We also went on leavers together after we finished school, camping, and throughout university. We were joined by another member on our 21st, where we went camping and sunk my father-in-law's ute in an estuary. We've been through much friendship. We've survived uni, marriages, children, moving across different parts of the state, and some even arriving now at the empty nest phase. Friendship, a great treasure from God, a great joy and a blessing to have good friends. You see, you need friends at every stage of your life, don't you? Whether you're thinking about your young children, you want them to have good friends. Did you make a friend today, son or daughter? You want your teenagers to have good friends and be in a good friendship group, and that's a high priority. You want your young adults to have friends. Young mums definitely need friends to get out of the house and hang out with people. Dads need friends. Men need friends. Women need friends. Seniors need friends. We all need friends. It's an every stage of our life thing. Now, C.S. Lewis talks about friendship in his book called The Four Loves. And he says there's four different loves. There's a sexual erotic love. There's a nurturing love. There's a friendship love. And then there's God's love. He said that the most unnecessary of these loves is friendship love, because you wouldn't exist without the others. You needed sexual love, you needed nurturing love to be born into this world, brought up in a family, and you need God's love to have life. But friendship love is not necessary to live, but it's a great joy to have, a great blessing to God to have such friends. People who aren't bound by blood or bound by promises, but bound by the joy of being friends and that love that they have for one another, a great joy. Now, psychologists study everything, and they've studied friendships, and the studies would say that friendships are really good for our health, our mental health, our physical health. If you have good friends, you'll live longer, you'll be happier, you'll have more purpose, and most of you know that. You'll get through hard times better with friends. In fact, if you have no friends, it's equivalent to being a heavy smoker in terms of your health. Good friends are a good thing. Now, friendship's not actually something that's celebrated greatly in our culture, because our culture celebrates the erotic or the romantic love. And you can only think about every movie or every book that you see advertised to know this is the case. That's what sells. That's what our culture is after. Now, I grew up on the Hardy Boys. Anyone else read the Hardy Boys? Yep, good. There's a few. Or the Famous Five. Yes, Secret Seven, friendship was celebrated. But in today's world, even the TV series called Friends is actually more about who's sleeping with who than the friendship group that exists there. It's interesting, friendship, when you think about the Bible as a topic, because there's not actually lots in the Bible about friendship, is there? You get to 1 Samuel 18 and you see David and Jonathan were who best mates, and when you get to that chapter, you think about friendship, but you think about the rest of the Bible and there's not lots said about friendship. There's lots said about relationship with God and people, with people and people, marriage, family, community, neighbours, even enemies, but not lots about friendship. Well, that's until you arrive in the book of Proverbs, and then there's lots said, which we've just seen, and there's more beyond that. Now, last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 10. John preached and there was 32 different Proverbs. I said to him afterwards, it was like standing under a waterfall trying to get a drink because there was just so much to be gained. And he rightly said, if you read a lot of Proverbs, all you can do is like your box of chocolates, take out one favourite one and think about that one. So another way of reading the Proverbs is to read them in themes. Unfortunately, the way that it's been edited is that the themes aren't put together. You have to kind of run around like we have today to try and find those themes. So themes like marriage, parenting, discipline, money, work, business, adultery. There's all these different themes that you'll see in the Proverbs, and they give you great wisdom in how to live. But you probably have to go look up the theme to find all those things. So today we're looking at friendship, a theme that runs through the book of Proverbs, and a theme that's relevant for all of us no matter where we're at. And one of the teenagers said last night, sometimes when you preach, you talk about marriage and it's not relevant for me, but this topic is relevant to all of us. Now, it's worth noting that friendship is in the book of Proverbs, so it's wise to have friends. If you want to live a life of wisdom, have friends, but be careful in choosing your friends and be wise in the type of friend that you are. And so there are two questions I'm going to ask you at the end of this talk. What type of friends do you have, and what type of friend are you? What type of friends do you have, and what type of friend are you? Now, you might want to apply some of this to your kids or to your grandkids or to others, but largely I want to apply this passage to us, to you who's sitting here today. What kind of friend are we, and what type of friends do we have? So firstly, let's think about choosing friends, choosing good friends, and see what the Proverbs will give us wisdom in that. And because they tell us that we should take care when we choose our friends. So let's work our way through. There will be a bit of page turning. 12:26 is where we start. It says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." Well, it's an interesting proverb. The first line makes sense on its own, doesn't it? That the wise person or the righteous person will be careful in choosing their friends. Now, the second half tells us why. Because if you make a bad friend or a friend with an evil person, they will affect the way that you live. They will lead you astray. Now, when I was growing up, there was a saying, you are what you eat. And my parents used to say that to me, you are what you eat. And in theory, what that meant is if you eat healthy food, you'll be healthy. If you eat unhealthy food, you'll be unhealthy. I think it never kind of resonated with me because I always thought, well, if I eat lots of mangoes, I won't turn yellow and plump, just plump. but if I eat lots of celery, I won't become tall, skinny, and have sort of hair that looks like leaves either. But this Proverbs would really say, you are who you hang out with, or more specifically, you become like your friends. You become like your friends. They rub off on you. So choose carefully. Look at this next proverb, 13:20. "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." No wonder that parents are so concerned about their kids and who they hang out with based on that. I've got one particular friend that both his wife and my wife know whether we've been talking to each other that day because we rub off on each other. I don't know if it's the way that we giggle or the way that we tell jokes or the subjects, but they can tell that we've talked to each other that day because we rub off on each other. And you'll know that if you have a friendship group who swear all the time, that rubs off on you. You become like your friends. If you want to be more godly, then have godly friends. If you want to love your spouse more, have friends who love their spouse. If you want to be more concerned about the lost, have friends who are concerned about the lost. Your friends will rub off on you in the positive sense and in the negative sense. So be careful who your friends are. Of course, we all know the stories of people who have got involved in the wrong friendship group. And they thought maybe that they would bring their friends to God, but the other thing happened and they were drawn far from God. And so we're concerned about our young people and who they hang out with. I wonder if this doesn't extend a little bit further than just who you hang out with and who your friends are. Maybe the books that you read, the movies you watch or the series that you do, they also rub off on you. Because no doubt if you listen to Hamish and Andy every morning, it'll have a different impact on you than if you listen to Tim Keller every morning. Very different people. I remember being in Perth listening to 96 FM and then changing to Sunshine FM, and that had a very different impact on me because the people around us in our community rub off on us. So we need to choose wisely. Look at these next two Proverbs, 20:19. It says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. You guys all laughed when that was read. I'm the only one doing the talking at the moment. Maybe avoid me. 22:24-25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Interesting, with both of those proverbs, the concern of the writer is not that you might become the victim of the loose-lipped person, that they might gossip about you or that their anger or hot-headedness might turn on you. The concern of the proverb writer is that they might rub off on you, that you might become like them, become dubious of character, and that the brush that has painted them will brush you as well. So be careful who you hang out with. Be careful who your friends are. And so it's worth just now pausing to think about who are your friends and what are your friends like? Are you hanging out with the people that rub off on you in a positive way? Do you need to make some new friends? Do you need to change your friendship group? Have you been blessed by God with great, good and godly friends? Or do you need to make some other ones? Well, if you do need to make some other ones, if you do need to make some friends, maybe you're new in town and you need some friends, how would you go about doing that? How would you go about choosing and making good friends? Well, C.S. Lewis talks about the friendship love and says that friendship love is a shoulder-to-shoulder love. He says the marriage love is a face-to-face love, but friendship love is a shoulder-to-shoulder, which normally means that it's because there's something over there that you like doing together that you make a friend. A friend's usually made out of a common interest. You like playing the same board games, or you like going to the same sport, or have the same type of car, some interest that you have that your friendship forms around. Your kids like to play together. And so shoulder to shoulder, you watch and you do something and then you form a connection and you find you've got other things in common and your friendship develops over that. And so this common interest is what builds a friendship. So you want to find a friend? Well, work out what you're interested in and then go and do that and find the other people who are interested in. So if you hate lawn bowls, don't go to the lawn bowls club to make a friend. If you love crochet, go there instead. Go to the places that you love and find people who love that as well. Join the park run if you love to run. Consider this proverb, 22:11. One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. You see, character is key. And so as you meet people in this common interest and if you're kind in the way you speak, godly in your behaviour, then everyone would want to be your friend. And in fact, the proverb says even the king would want to be your friend. You'll have a choice out of the lot. Look, you might be jogging along in the park run and you might meet somebody and say, "How are your legs feeling?" And they'll say, "Well, a bit wobbly because I'm a bit hungover today." And you might think, "Well, that's not the friend I'm going to have today. I'll speed up and find somebody else to." Look for friends carefully, people who will rub off on you, who are godly and that you want to become like. Now, of course, for Christians, the church is an extraordinary place to make friends, isn't it? Because we all have one thing in common. We love Jesus. And so it doesn't matter whether you're old or young, what your ethnic background, how long you've been a Christian for, in the church, no matter where you are in the world, you can make a friend. Shoulder to shoulder, looking at Christ, you can make a friend. And of course, that's great, isn't it? If you've got a diversity of friends, not people who are just your age and not just like you. You might remember that Michael W. Smith song that says, "Friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, because the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends." So do you have good friends? Do you need to make some more friends? Church is a great place to make friends. Well, let's move on to the second major topic, which is to ask the question, what type of friend are you to your friends? And what are your friends like at being good friends to you, as we think about the wisdom of that? So there's about two proverbs in each of these categories I'm going to show you. A good friend will know you, a good friend will show you, and a good friend will grow you. Know you, show you, and grow you. So let's start with know you. Of course, one of the great joys of having a friendship is that you get to know someone quite well. And if you have a friendship that lasts for years, you get to know them really well because you do good times together, you share experiences together, you do hard times together, you confess sin, you walk through hard, hard times, and you dance through the highs as well. In fact, you might have friends that are so long your friends that most of the time you get together, you just talk about the things that you used to do together. And the kids hate that, of course, when you reminisce about old times, but those friendships have been enjoyed. Look at 25, 16 and 17. "If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbour's house, too much of you and they will hate you." Now, the hard thing about the Hebrew is that the word friend and the word neighbour is the same word, so the context has to determine. So this could be equally about a friend or a neighbour. And the proverb is essentially saying, you can have too much of a good thing. Now, two of my sons discovered this at a party when there was a chocolate fountain. The chocolate went in, and a few hours later it came out. They had too much of a good thing. One of those sons has learnt that excess is not good. The other is still learning that lesson. But a good friend knows when to go home because a good friend knows you. They know you. They know the signals. They know what's going on in your life. They know how much is enough. 27:14. That was not a message to anyone who comes to my house to say, "Go home earlier." 27:14. "If anyone loudly blesses their neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse." Now, this is a daily pattern in my house because of the spouse couple. One is chirpy in the morning and the other is not. And I can see the elbows there because the chirpy one is not appreciated by the unchirpy one. You can work out which one's which in our house. But a friend knows their friend. They know what they're like and they accommodate themselves for their friend. They know when to be gentle with them. 25:20 really gets to the heart of this. "Like one who has taken away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is like one who sings songs to a heavy heart. You see, if your friend's going through a hard time, they don't need you to burst through the door singing rock and roll and telling jokes. They need you to sit with them and to mourn with them, because a friend knows you. Now, every parent knows that you're only as good as the child who's the worst at the moment. And every spouse knows, well, every husband knows, happy wife, happy life, troubled child, troubled parent. But the same goes true with our friends, doesn't it? If we have a friend who's struggling, we struggle with them because we know them and we do life with them. And it's highly appropriate that our friends are struggling, we struggle with them. We sit with them, we share with them, we share cups of tea, and we don't be naive to where they're at. Of course, the question sits then is, how well do you know your friends and how well do your friends know you? Do you disclose and do you share life together? Are you known and do you know? Well, secondly, a good friend will show you. You'll know they're a good friend because they show you their love by their actions and how they go about living. So think about these Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Now, a number of the Proverbs actually compare friendship love with family love. And there's that saying that blood is thicker than water, which essentially is saying that family relationships are more important than friendship or other relationships. And the Proverbs don't always agree with that. So they do at times, and other times they don't. Here we see that a friend loves at all times. A friend will be there in the good times and in the bad times. They'll do life with you. They'll journey with you. They'll go to the Albany show to see your crochet that you put in there as a display. Your family won't do that. They won't drive all the way from Perth to see your crochet that you put in. They won't even look at the pictures that you put on your WhatsApp group. They're not interested. But if a hard time happens in your life, if you get cancer, something happens, your family will be there. Your family will be there. They're there for times of tough times, adversity. 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I think the heart of this saying is that it's one thing to have lots of contacts, acquaintances, people that you work with, people that you go to church with, people in your sporting teams, people who live on your street. But in the end, these people won't be any great help to you when calamity comes. But if you have a good friend, if you have a good friend, they'll be closer than a brother, someone who'll journey through life with you. And of course, the question soon appears, do you have a good friend? Do you have a friend like that? And are you a friend like that to somebody else that will journey through life, someone who will stick closer than a brother? Well, these last two proverbs are that a friend will grow you. So 27 and verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now, having grown up on a farm where we butchered sheep, I can still hear the sound of a knife against a steel as that blade is getting sharpened, as one sharpens the other. And it's a great proverb, isn't it, that the two friends or the group of friends should be good for each other. They should grow and help each other to become sharper. In what way? Well, in terms of character, that they should help one another grow, become more like Christ, that they should recognize difficulties and error and correct them and rebuke them. And because they're your friend, you trust them. In our staff meeting, we talk about this as a good friend stabs you in the front, not in the back. They look you in the eye because they love you, and they'll tell you about something that you've said or done that you shouldn't have. They'll see you walking into error, and they'll warn you against that. They'll help you learn from your mistakes so that you don't make them again. Now, you might think of times that you saw a friend walking into error, maybe in a relationship, maybe in something else, and you didn't say anything. And now you wish that you had, because a good friend does that, and you see it happening. Or do you have good friends like that? Do you have friends who stab you in the front? You have to give that some context if you're going to ask them to do that for you. Do you, people who do that for you, you do that for them? Do you know your friends? Do you show your friends your love? Do you help grow your friends? Well, as we come to the end now of thinking about friendship, we can't not talk about Jesus. Let's think about Jesus as a friend and what he was like. Now, so Jesus never married a single male when he died. He had his family who seemed to be on the scene early and mostly disappear. But largely, Jesus' relationship needs were made by his heavenly father and by his friends. And there was a big group, wasn't there? There was 120 or so when he rose from the dead. There was the 72 that he sent out two by two. But most of Jesus' time was spent with the 12. And of the 12, there was three closer friends. Who were they? Peter, James, John. And who was Jesus' bestie? Did someone say Judas? No. John, the disciple that he loved. So it seemed that Jesus had this large group of contacts, but a closer and closer group, and even a closest friend. And all his relationship needs were met by them. But consider these verses from John chapter 15. Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Wonderful words as Jesus calls his disciples his friends. Now, what is it that marks his friendship? Well, firstly, disclosure. He tells them what the Father tells him. They know what's going on in his life. He shares it with them. He shares that. But what type of friend is Jesus? Well, the type of friend who would take a bullet for his friend. In fact, he lays down his life, doesn't he, for his friends, for us, in fact. You see, in the end, there's one friend that matters more than all the other friends, and his name is Jesus. And he wants to be your friend, your best friend, because you can go running to a spouse or to family and children or to as many friends as you can think of, but they will never be able to satisfy this greatest need to have a God friend, and his name is Jesus. If you don't have Jesus who fully satisfies you, then you'll look for that type of friendship somewhere else. You'll try and make good relationships into God relationships, and you'll put too much pressure on those people to be what they can never be. You see, Jesus will always love you. He loves you warts and all. He knows all of your frailties and your brokenness, and he still wants to be your friend. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never move town and be away from you. Jesus will be your best friend. And in terms of having a friend to rub off on you, this friend Jesus, when he rubs off on you, well, you become like him, become more like Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. But he will rebuke you. He will stab you in the front. You open his word and read it, and you will see what he has to say to you and to your sin. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. And I implore you to be best friends with this Jesus who gave his life for us, gave his life for you. And so as we finish, three questions. I said there'll be two, but I've added another one. That I want you to think about this week. What type of friends do you have? What type of friends do you have? Do you need to find some new ones? What kind of friend are you? How are you going at being a good friend to your friends? And finally, is Jesus your best friend? And he can be your best friend today. So I'm going to give you some time to think and to pray before God, and then I will pray for you, and musos, you can come and join me. Father, I want to particularly pray for a few groups of people here today. I pray for those who don't have good friends, particularly those who have bad friends and need to find good friends. I pray that you'd give them the courage of their convictions to find some good friends who will rub off on them. For those who are new in Albany or the region or the church, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them with good friends. And we know that good friends happen slowly, easy to make contacts, much harder to make good friends. So we pray that you'd help them persevere and find good friends. Father, I pray for those who are aged and are seeing that more and more of their friends have passed away. We pray that you'll give them endurance at this stage of their life. And Father, for all of us, we pray that we would know you both as our Saviour and our King, but also as our friend. In Jesus' name, amen.